Welcome to Open Studio, where we put a spotlight on the arts, artists, and issues in the cultural community. I'm Tom Musgrave. This week's guest, Dr. Gary Anderson, is wrapping up 35 years as the founding conductor and musical director for the Lexington Chamber Chorale. He's also a professor emeritus of music at Transylvania University and has held several leadership positions and earned honors in state and national choral music and music education professional associations. I'm happy to have him here with me today. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you very much, Tom. I'm delighted to be here.
So when you look back on your tenure, does it feel like 35 years?
No, it really doesn't. I look at that and say, my God, impossible. It's been exciting in every way, but it doesn't seem like 35 years. That's accurate.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And how long were you at Transy?
I taught at Transylvania for 41 years.
Okay.
So there was overlap there for quite a while.
Okay. And you are a church choir director here.
Second Presbyterian Church.
How long have you been there?
16 years, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that. So for a while, I had three different things going on.
Wow.
It was a little much.
I imagine. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a lot of balls in the air.
And, well, I enjoyed it, but after a while, you have to. Are you really giving all of your energy and all your time to each of those three? And the answer is you really can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's so rare to be able to chat with somebody who has the word founding in their title. So I want to start by asking you to go back in time 35 plus years ago. Talk about bringing the Lexington Chamber Chorale to life as a performing group. And could you start by telling us where Gary Anderson was in his own life at that time?
Yes. At the time, I had created at Transylvania a town and gown choir. And it was getting bigger and bigger. But then again, Lexington Singers was bigger and bigger and had more of a history. And we began to think about a very, very similar group. Did that really make sense for the city? Probably not. And what I really wanted to do was work with a very small group. But there was no way of doing that at the moment. There was no nothing like that in the city at the time. I was on a sabbatical leave in Phoenix. This is over 35 years ago. And the Phoenix Bach Choir was one of the places I visited and had talked to interviewed with the conductor and the business manager. And we sat down and she said, you can do that. And here are some ideas how you can do that, becoming an independent small choir. And I came back excited about that. We then invited ourselves to a state convention and put together a group. We called it the Sine Nomine Singers without a name because we didn't have a name at that time. And we did that, and we had a ball, and sat down and said, do you want to continue this? And they said, yes, let's go. That's how it happened. And so we started with 16 people, a group who really wanted to sing, you know, chamber choir specifically. And there was nothing in the city at that time like that. And all of a sudden it grew. And then one day we decided that maybe we should have a name other than Sine Nomine Singers. We needed something. Lexington Chamber Chorale was a result of that meeting. And that's what happened. It's been exciting.
Although the Latin name is really quite clever.
Well, I actually didn't want to change, but I was outvoted by the board.
Okay, well, yeah. It's a democracy, right?
Until I'm conducting, it's a democracy.
Well, yeah, this is true. Yeah, yeah. The baton gives you a little bit of authority.
Right.
So you did bring up Lexington Singers, so I want to talk a little bit about sort of not comparing the groups at all in terms of like quality and what, but for the audience, can you sort of contrast what it is to be a chamber choir versus a large choir like Lexington Singers?
Right, and there is no, obviously they're very different, and they do a fabulous job of major works and with orchestra and without orchestra, with piano. But that's the issue there. They really concentrate on major works and they do it beautifully. I wanted to concentrate on minor works, smaller works, primarily a cappella works. And you can do that more effectively with a very small group. It also means that we had to provide a variety of literature for the singers and for the audience, which we do. So when we do a concert, we don't concentrate on two or three pieces. We concentrate on 14 pieces instead. That's quite a difference. And with that, we are also flexible. We're portable. Mm-hmm. We're very portable. We can sing here. We can sing there. We can move all over the place. And that's a difference also, I think.
Do you, does the group ever do sort of breakout, like we've got a quartet that that can do stuff, or we can get, we've got a trio, or
you know, I tried that a few years ago, especially during the day, and it turned out to be a challenging scheduling issue. So we finally decided not to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are so many different permutations, even
right.
within a small group. I
right.
think. What are the challenges of being in a small group like that?
The challenges for the singers, of course, are we have six rehearsals, and you're expected to sing every note and every rhythm correctly. That's by the second rehearsal. That's a challenge, and it's a challenge for me to make sure everyone's on the page and doing it in a way that's. Gets it done, but without trying to be too draconian about it also, which would never work with people because we're human beings, you know.
Right.
So that's a challenge. And one of the things, if you have six rehearsals, you really have to be prepared for that also. The other thing is, with the repertoire we use, we sing in a lot of languages.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a while. Depending on how many languages, it takes a significant amount of time. So we have to be careful about how many to use in a concert. But that's a challenge also. The other thing is, so many of these people are soloists, and they should be, and I'm delighted about that. But if you're singing with 24 people, you're not putting a spotlight on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you do that vocally, then, of course, you don't hear the other people. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose the quality of these soloists. That is not the attempt. In other words, say you all sound the same is not the point. What I say is everyone must be heard. And when you say that, then the smaller voices begin to sing out more, those singers. And then you get a sound, a choral sound, rather than a couple of soloists.
Yeah. And you can't really, there's no hiding behind anybody either in a group
that small. You
cannot
hide.
Yeah. And you have to listen, I think.
And you have to listen. That's exactly right. A lot of that is your the people behind you and the people on the side of you. Exactly right.
What's the most challenging language that you've had with the group?
Latvian.
Wow. Okay.
Tough.
On my bingo card, I did not have that.
It is a tough language to sing in. We have done a lot of languages. Estonian we have done quite often, and it's easier than – I do not have an answer to what I'm – you know, why is it much easier? And we do a lot of things in Swedish because that's my background, and we have some people in the group who speak Swedish. So we can do that because we hear the sounds of people talking, and that works pretty well. German is pretty easy because most people have sung in German.
Mm-hmm.
French is hard for a choir. It really is. Without those nasals, you know, without mm-hmm. those nasals, it's not really French. So that's a challenge.
Yeah. So your final concert as director is coming June 7th. What can you tell us about the performance?
What we're doing that night, or afternoon, I should say, at 5 o'clock, is a group of four different segments in the concert, a group of shape note hymns. Which are part of our tradition in this area in Appalachia and in Kentucky, of course, and they're beautiful and they're us, and so we want to do that. Then we have a group of called Welcome Summer Hymns, and there are pieces from around the world. One from England, we have one from Ireland, we have one from Sweden, pieces like that called Welcome Summer. And then we also have a group called Songs of Appalachia. Now, these are arrangements of pieces like God Bless the Moon, Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair, and The Lone Wild Bird. And those are beautiful arrangements of people, things like that, very secular songs. And then we end up with, of course we'll sing My Old Kentucky Home. And then we do a couple of pieces at the end that have been sort of trademark pieces for us recently, one of which is called I Have Had Singing. That, I think, is a trademark piece for it. Mm-hmm. We have to sing that because we have to sing.
It's become something synonymous with the group.
Yes.
Wow. You mentioned earlier that you do a lot of shorter pieces, and you do, instead of doing two or three in a concert, you're doing 14 or more.
Correct.
Does that make it easy to pull a concert together with a common theme?
It makes it easier to pull together with a common theme. That's exactly right. And we are primarily theme-based concert repertoire. Theme-based. What's the repertoire this year? How about the music of the Baltics?
Mm-hmm.
That's a theme. We sometimes do things like what's going on in the politics of certain places around the world. And we do that. And so that's a theme. But you have a better chance of doing four or, you know, a number of pieces on that one theme, since there's really no major work that works. And also for a small group, And we do mostly a cappella things. It's physically easier for us also, frankly. Mm-hmm. And it gives a variety for the audience, which is very important.
Yeah. And I've been to a few of your concerts, and it seems it does help tie things together. So of the performances in 35 years that you've done, this is going to be a loaded question. are there performances that stand out?
It is an important question. I'm going to go back 2 months. our concert in March, and I admit this going straight with you now, those are pieces I really wanted to do, sort mm-hmm. of pieces that were my favorite pieces. And I get that seemed awfully self-serving, but it turns out to be the music that was stunning for everyone. That was a very favorite concert. Why? Because the languages, because of some of the pieces stretched us, which is very, very, very important. That stands out. We also had a guest player with us on marimba who's just marvelous. And what he did, interestingly, was play between pieces. In other words, we would finish a piece, he knew what key we were in, and then he would modulate to the next key, and then we start the next piece. So we started, and then the applause came an hour later.
Wow.
Which was real exciting.
Yeah.
That was a very special thing. That happened once before with Anders, our special guest, about 20 years ago. That stood out. And then the other one that comes to mind right now is when we had our guest Eric Whitaker, who's been around a while and does some great music. And he was our guest 25 years ago. And we did Eric Whitaker music.
Yeah.
That was special.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been able to bring in a composer? We were talking off air about commission works, and I want to get into that now.
Yeah.
How often are you able to bring a composer in to give you, because, you know, as wonderful as singing Mozart is, we can't ask him, you know, can you give us some commentary on this? Have you had that opportunity with living composers?
We have worked with some living composers, most of whom are in the area. Joe Baber, we wrote with Joe Baber at one time, and that was a lot of fun. He was a great guy and wrote beautiful music. That was a treat. We also have used some of our, Jeffrey Jones, who's a member of our group. We have used pieces that he has written, and others also. We have never been able to commission a major work by a major composer for two reasons. One, they want to write big pieces, orchestra or piano or something, and that's not who we are. But we have spent money on guest conductors rather than spending money on commissions.
So you mentioned a few things about working with composers and bringing in guest conductors, which is going to lead me into asking, how has the Lexington Chamber Chorale evolved in the 35 years? Because I imagine it was not the group that it is now.
Right. I think we have evolved in terms of becoming much more flexible in terms of what we can do and what we have been doing. At the very beginning, I think that it was sort of a repertoire that everyone kind of knew. In other words, I was being very safe about that for the early years. And later we don't have to be safe. We can do things that people may not know. We can do names that people have never heard of. And that's been really good for us. So it's spread us. It's expanded our brains. It's expanded our musicality without a doubt. So we're being bolder about the repertoire than we were a few years ago. That's a difference for sure.
You mentioned being able to, you said specifically back in March, the group stretched.
Yes.
What is having that kind of talent do for you as a director and somebody who is programming the concert?
We push each other the whole time. There's no question about that. As that happens, they push me, I push them. It's a really, really good feeling about that also. I have grown as a conductor because they've pushed back on that, and I really appreciate that. And I hope I've grown, have helped them grow also as musicians.
In a smaller ensemble, I imagine the musical growth is probably, you've seen, what's the longest tenured member that's currently in the I'm asking you this out to expecting you to know it, but
well, I do, because there are three of us who are charter members.
Wow.
That's all. And it's understandable, because when I began I organized the group, there were a lot of people who had been around a while and who were longer than I had, and others, and so after a while you tend to have changes in personnel. That's inevitable in any choir, mm-hmm. by the way. And we have people move away. We've had people, unfortunately, have died and no longer with us. Three of us are charter members, and that's exciting. But after that, there are a number of people who joined us 30 years ago. And then so there has to be turnover, mm-hmm. in any choir. Otherwise, as you can imagine, the choir sounds the same from year to year, and this is not good. So when you have some turnover, it doesn't mean necessarily younger voices, but different voices.
Yeah.
The change, the quality changes, not the quality, but the sound changes, which then allows me to think about different repertoire that we perhaps had not done in the past.
Yeah. How do you have you seen musical growth in some of those folks who have been around for maybe 20, 15, 20 years?
Yes, definitely. And I have felt musical growth myself, which I'm really grateful for.
Yeah. So let's think in broad terms here for a moment. So the Lexington, we'll say classical in air quotes, mm-hmm. music scene in 35 years. What changes have you noticed in that with respect to, again, air quotes, classical performance ensembles in 35 years in Central
Kentucky?
Well,
there are more than there were. an example of that is the Kentucky Bach Choir, which started, it was the Louisville Bach Choir, mm-hmm. and came over here. And then there was the Louisville Bach Choir and the Lexington Bach Choir, and that got merged, which I think is great for us, for the city. Mm-hmm. So now we have the Kentucky Bach Choir, which is located here. So that was not available 20 years ago. And so that's good news. Music of the old world. This has been around for a long time, and they do their niche, which is early medieval music and Renaissance with instruments. That's strong, and that's still here, and I think mm-hmm. that's wonderful. There are new small instrumental ensembles than there were 35 years ago. Example: the Alluring Bell Choir, which I just happened to hear a concert the other night. They're very good, and that's kind of new too. It's within 20 years though, and other groups too. So there are more small groups performing than there were 35 years ago.
Has that had any effect on positively on the work that you have done in the chamber chorale?
Yes. As an example, there was a time there was the Lexington Brass Band. We worked with them for a while, and I'm not sure if they are still functioning right now, so I hesitate to say too much about that. But that was great. It gave us an opportunity to work with them, and then gave them an opportunity to do some material they wouldn't have done otherwise. So that's been very good for us, absolutely.
So what kind of outreach has the Chamber Chorale done beyond Central Kentucky?
That's a very important question, and it's something we have tried to do. And we have sung a few things. We have sung in a few venues and the concert series down in different parts of the state. And we like to do that, and we have done that. But those places there are fewer concert series in areas around the state than there were 30 years ago.
Okay.
Fewer opportunities.
That's an interesting thing. That's a topic I might have to explore in another mm-hmm. segment. What will you miss about directing the group?
The community. Choir members like to be together because they want to be together as people and human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's true of this choir. It's true of church choirs. It's true of school choirs. That's important. But then we come together as a community of singers. It changes the level. I'm not going to say raises the level, but it sure changes what's going on there. And you're making music in a way that you couldn't have made it otherwise. I'll be missing making music with those people desperately. I admit that. And we've been very emotional about that at the last concert also. It's going to be missed.
Well, because I don't want to go out on like a note that is ending, that's signifying an ending, I will ask, what's next for you?
I'm going to be spending more time and energy, and I'm looking forward to this, at our church, at Second Presbyterian Church. I enjoy it a lot. It's, as I told many people, it's the best part-time job you can possibly have. And that's fine, except now I'm going to be able to put some of those brain cells into the repertoire for the church, and maybe some things there that we haven't been doing. And I'm excited about that. I'm thinking about doing a lot of more international things with the choir at church that we have not done in the past, for instance. We have a lot of choral, we have some choral scholars now, which is many church choirs have. And we have one from Taiwan, and so we're going to think about how we can maybe do some things in Chinese we haven't done. We have another singer who's from Corfu in Greece. We may do some things there. So I'm thinking about some international things at church that we haven't done before. That's new, and I think that's going to energize me.
And stretch them in the same way.
And stretch them at the same time.
Yeah. Well, that's a nice note to end on. Gary Anderson, thank you, founding conductor and music director for the Lexington Chamber Chorale. Thanks for being with us today and talking about your career and the group.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciated this. Enjoyed it very much.
Listen to Open Studio every Friday during WUKY's Morning Edition and in the afternoon during All Things Considered. Or listen to extended segments at the Open Studio podcast, available at WUKY.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Do you have an idea for an Open Studio segment? We're always on the lookout for news and events in Central Kentucky's arts and cultural community. Email us at openstudiowuky@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page, keywords Open Studio on WUKY. Your idea may make it on the air. I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Open Studio on WUKY.